Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
With the first pick in the 2024 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Zachary Risache from Lyon, France, and France's JL Boron-Bresse.
Who? If you even watch to round one of the NBA Draft, which Choppy and I, for some reason, watch way too much of. I didn't watch every single pick, but I had it on at the very end. I was suckered in by the Bronny possibility. I wanted to see if there was going to be some type of major blockbuster with the Paul George, Kevin Durant rumors. Who else are the New York Knicks going to re-sign? What Western Conference teams are going to add for the Mavericks to have to go through? But France is the story of last night with the top two selections, including the Atlanta Hawks. New player.
Yeah, and a lot of people think Alex Saar was the player with the higher upside, but he did not even work out for Atlanta. He's like, nope, not going there. His agent is the same agent, Bill Duffy, that basically told Luka, by any means necessary, stay away from Atlanta. And he just said the same thing to Saar. And here's the thing, Alex Saar lived in Atlanta as an AAU player.
Wow.
So, and they told him, do not, by any means, do not even work out for them. I don't know why you would say I'd much rather go to Washington. What have they ever done? But he obviously did. So that's, you know, they both get, both teams, you know, Washington gets a really kind of a steal for them. They think they have the best player in the draft.
Other picks that stood out to you. I know your boy Dalton Knecht with the Tennessee Volunteer jacket falls to the LA Lakers. Zach Edey, the big man, a top 10 selection going to Memphis. You really like what Minnesota did.
I think Minnesota did a great job last night. They and San Antonio, conversely, a terrible job. San Antonio had a chance. They needed scoring. Guard.
Need a lot.
So they get Castle, right? That's good. Point guard, they solve that. And then they go get Dillingham, who can, he can fill it up. Now, defensively, maybe not. But then they trade him to Minnesota for a pick in 2031 and 2030. So there's a pick swap in one of the years and a regular first-round pick in one of the years, which is Greg Popovich going to coach in 7 years?
No.
Probably not, right?
Do his best for the organization?
Yeah, I mean, like, so I don't understand. Yeah, so that from that perspective, he did his best. But, I mean, if he wants to have the semblance of getting one more, I mean, he could have gotten, look, at where he picked at 8, Dalton Knecht was on the board. That would have been a good fit for them. Devin Carter, I thought, from Providence would have been a great fit for them. But back to Minnesota, I love what they did. They got Dillingham, and then later on in the first round, they also got Terrence Shannon Jr. at Illinois, who I think is a tremendous value in the mid-20s. He was great in college at Illinois. He had his problems off the floor. There was an incident, a violent incident that he was involved with. He was cleared of it, but like that still, I mean, it put him in a tough spot for a while. And you know, these NFL coaches at least love to say, if trouble always finds you, it's generally your fault. I don't necessarily agree with that, but NBA player teams may think the same thing. But he's a tremendous talent as well.
Rookie of the Year odds from ESPN Bet. Alex Saar, the 2 pick, is the favorite right now to win Rookie of the Year, plus 400. Is it Risache? Risache at plus 500. Castle, plus 750. Dalton Knecht, plus 900. So those are some of the numbers. The numbers that you could have made money off of yesterday, we told you over-under for Bronny was 41.5. And RJ quickly said, take the over. Well, I guess you couldn't have made money on that yet because you're going to need 12 picks to go by today with round two starting at 3 p.m. Bronny James drafted round one or round two. If you bet on round two, you got 1-2 odds minus 200. That was probably an easy bet to make. And then the teams to draft him, Lakers are the favorite at even money, followed by the Suns, Mavericks, Wolves, Raptors. Is there any way that with the Lakers on the clock, they let him go by? That would be, what would be better? What would be better? The Lakers passing on him or someone jumping right in front of LA?
Oh.
Like you guessed, Pat Riley and the Heat or someone like that.
If it's Pat Riley, I think that would be better. But the Lakers pass on him. Oh,
oh
my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That'd be so amazing.
I'm here for the drama. I'm here for all the drama.
I don't know that it happens, that they pass on him. I don't know. But, I mean, look, if they do pass on him, that does mean that I think we're getting him.
The Mavs?
Yeah.
Why? Because
the relationship with Nico.
Okay, not as a LeBron ploy?
Not. I don't think necessarily as a LeBron ploy. I think as LeBron favor. Nico, apparently they say Nico's like an uncle to Bronny. I think the Mavs, look, and it's an upside pick. I was listening to Steve Lapis two days ago, and he said
former UCLA coach? Oh, that's Steve Lavin.
Steve Lavin. Steve Lapis was the Villanova coach. He was Kerry Kittle's coach at college.
Oh.
And he said he's a tremendous athlete, and he's got great handles. His shot needs improvement. I mean, let's face it. LeBron's shot when he got into the NBA wasn't very good either. Like, you can work on your jump shot. Your athleticism is basically your athleticism. And your handles, yeah, you can work on those too, but, like, some people just have quick hands. So those are a couple of things that you necessarily can't work on, and he's got those at the NBA level. So from a project standpoint, I don't think it's crazy to take him at 58. But the last pick in the draft?
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
Sure. And maybe you learn LeBron.
Yeah. Now, if LeBron and the Lakers pass on him, and the Mavs pass on him, the Lakers could still sign him as an undrafted free agent.
Jim Schlossnagel had his Longhorns presser yesterday, and he did the right thing, we think, by apologizing to our guest at 8 a.m. today.
When the game ended, I want to publicly apologize to Richard Zane from Texags. He's a young reporter. He asked the question. That was an obvious question. I wish I could have answered that better. But in the moment, you know, 30 minutes after the last pitch, all I could think about was our players. And I really wasn't in the mood to talk about myself or the future. So I apologize for that to Richard.
Okay. Apologize. And Peyton has tracked down Richard Zane with the press conference that the entire world is talking about. And he will join us at 8 o'clock today.
Yeah. Good on Schloss for apologizing. It doesn't excuse it, but you tried your best to make it right. You're still slimy and sleazy and just as greasy as it gets.
All right, you believe this burner phone stuff?
I do. Because, I mean, like, it makes sense. Because
who accused him of this?
It was a player. It was a player. An A&M player. Former player. But he accused him of using a burner phone to recruiting kids to Texas while still coaching in the College World Series and in the National Championship. You know, according to the reports we've seen, they've had this deal done since May, you know, since the tournament started. It's like, you know, that's the dirty underbelly of college sports, is that a lot of times you make these deals while somebody else has the job, while you have a job, while you're still coaching. It's no secret. It's dirty. It's kind of the way it is. You got to deal with it. And A&M now is going to find a coach. Now, A&M can't cry. Because they did the same thing to TCU. When they got Schloss was coaching for TCU in the College World Series. Now, I heard reports that TCU wanted him out anyway because there was stuff going on behind the scenes. And they basically told him, go find another job. But still, A&M, the TCU fans didn't know that. They expected him to be there. So, you know, A&M can't cry too much.
There was a follow-up audio that you and Bobby were in love with from ESPN Baton Rouge. Who is Matt Muscana?
He does a show on 104.5 ESPN. They're just trying to play up 105.3 and 104.5. Right?
Yeah,
exact same numbers. but the ESPN in Baton Rouge basically going after A&M fans for coming at him.
But all y'all spent the last 24 hours flooding my Twitter mentions, calling me names, saying I was wrong, saying I was stupid, saying I was a drug head, saying I look like a thumb, which I kind of do. But all y'all were just dead wrong. Y'all couldn't see through your own blind loyalty, and you took shots at me when I was trying to tell you the damn story. Yeah, I knew Schlossnagel was taking that damn job. I heard the terms of the contract and the terms for his assistants. And if he got cold feet, they were going to hire Skip Johnson from Oklahoma. But guess what? They got across the finish line because apparently Jim Schlossnagel couldn't stand you anymore. You milkman overall wearing weirdos couldn't stand you anymore. So I'd rather go to a place with a worse roster, with worse facilities, that ain't been relevant really here lately. I'm leaving a good roster, a place where they're building me a $90 million stadium. I got a good roster. I just played for a national championship. I'm gonna go to a turf field? A turf field in the middle of Texas? At an old ballpark? I'm gonna go there just to get away from you people. That's what Jim Schlossnagel just said.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, he went for the...
I'm familiar with the Aggie cult. Yeah. Very familiar during the Johnny Manziel days.
Uh-huh, Peyton's familiar. He's wearing maroon today.
And he decided to blowtorch him.
He said, I want nothing to do with A&M. This Matt Viscana is like, dude, y'all are weirdos. I mean, he called him weirdos. You can't recover from that. You can't recover from weirdos.
877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line here on your home of the Rangers.
And one more thing on this. Chris Del Conte, the AD, he's lying.
Oh, gosh.
This is the next one.
The graveyard?
Yes.
This is kind of disrespectful even, maybe.
I know. He said he waited at the Snook Cemetery to meet with Jim Schlossnagel later at the coach's house Tuesday. He figured no one would know him at the cemetery. All right? So, and this is like, okay, this is a lie.
This is in College Station.
Yeah. This is a lie. You know how we know it's not true? Because that would mean the AD was waiting for him basically after the team got back from their game against Tennessee. The deal was already done. You weren't sneaking around a cemetery. That's creepy anyway.
Yeah.
Weird. But you're not sneaking around. We know this is... We know. And that, now, unless this was...
Peyton.
Unless
there Longhorns.
Was a different
Good.
Tuesday they're talking about. Brave. But I don't think they are.
Your Longhorns just stepping it.
They're hungry, man. They want something. They're going to get it.
Yep.
They're hungry.
Yep. It's I'll tell you. They
no
are...
There's a
Yeah, actually, they all did. Oh,
no. There is a gentleman's agreement in conference that you don't steal somebody else's coach, but it's happened twice now. Arkansas did this to Kentucky, and Texas doing this to A&M.
Man.
The unwritten rules are dead.
Hanging, and so are all the people.
Yeah.
That they're recruiting around. Chris Del Conte hanging out. Why would you say that? Why would you even... Do you think that that is going to make your fan base think that you really are that much hungrier? That you will Great stop question. At no cost?
No cost.
Man, Richard Zane, the A&M reporter, will join us at 8 o'clock this morning. Pepe is here for more of the Bobby Belt Takeover. He's going to run the Neighborhood Watch during the commercial-free expressway after RJ...
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Choppy asks again, have we all been overreacting and getting way too angry with the Dallas Cowboys? That's next on Sean and RJ. We are commercial free up until 8 o'clock here on your home of the Rangers. And in case you had not heard, also, the Dallas Cowboys.
No way.
Sean Treif and RJ Choppy. No Bobby Belt for about a week. We got Peyton and Rai Rai in the back live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube. And you are going to take over the light lifting of Bobby as Cowboys insider.
Yeah, all right. Here we go. Below the belt. I saw this roster ranking because we have talked about the Cowboys offseason, obviously ad nauseum, and what they've done or what they haven't done. And the losing of X amount of starters from last year and depth guys. So surely that would mean the roster is quite poor. This is from three NFL analysts on ESPN. Seth Walder, who's like their main analytics guy. Aaron Schatz, who was the Football Outsiders guy who came over to ESPN. And then Mike Clay, who's been a longtime insider for ESPN. They would rank every NFL lineup. And they combine their rankings to come up with their final list of the best and worst rosters. Talent, age, production of the players were all factored in. Clay detailed the strongest and weakest units for all 32 teams. Walder picked out X factors, and Schatz found non-starters who could make big contributions. So, where would this Cowboys roster rank in the National Football League? Last year, they were generally top three or four.
Definitely top 10. I would say, you know, probably like top seven.
Okay. Let's go through it. Number one, San Fran. I don't think many people will argue with this one.
No.
It's a really good roster. And they got to win something sooner or later, but it's a really good roster. This one kind of surprised me.
They at least win NFC championships.
They do at least win NFC championships. They get there too. Number two, Kansas City. Did we think that was a great roster? Because we just seem to say Mahomes just dragged 51 other, two other guys there.
Right. Had some nice young defensive players.
Yeah.
Offensively, we all, of course, make fun of their wide receivers. I am surprised that they're up there that much.
Yeah, I am too. This does not seem like something that I would have put them up there.
But again, their defense carried them for a lot of last season.
It did. Biggest strength, obviously, they have is the quarterback. Biggest weakness is offensive tackle. And the X factor is wide receivers, you know, Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. Okay. Number three, another team that most people generally just assume they've got a great roster, Baltimore.
Yes.
You know?
Eric DaCosta, my guy, taking over for Ozzie Newsome, Harbaugh, they're just solid.
And their biggest strength, they say, is safety. That's, you know, okay, there you go.
Well, we saw what Hamilton did.
That's true.
At points and times last year, putting up a highlight reel, Jordan Hamilton, the Longhorn. Am I messing up his name?
Kyle Hamilton. He was the Notre Dame kid,
I said Jordan Hamilton, Texas basketball player.
Yeah. Number four. The Jets.
Bobby lost his mind over this yesterday.
He did not understand this at all. Yeah.
It's not crazy to me.
I don't think it's nuts. I mean, I think most people had them as a title, not contender, but at least somebody that could. A lot of people put them to win the NFC, AFC East last year.
Haters, you ain't popping.
Look,
and threatened for a playoff spot.
It's not crazy. Bobby just has this Aaron Rodgers hatred that he can't see through. Breece Hall, people love him when he's not injured. Garrett Wilson is a legit one. Now, Bobby's point was the offensive line was horrific. Let's see how good Tyron is.
Yeah, he's the X factor. They have him listed as the X factor here for this team.
Yeah. Quinnen Williams, one of the best defensive tackles in the league. They got Hassan Reddick. They still have C.J. Mosley. Sauce is a legit one. They got a good roster. There are no problems with this.
Their biggest strength is corner. That's a position of value. Their biggest weakness is safety. That's not the worst place to be weak in. You don't want to be terrible at safety because you're the last line of defense, but, you know, you'd rather be weak at safety than corner. You know, their ex-fender's left tackle. And then they got Solomon Thomas.
And they've tried to go all in for Rodgers' final couple years.
Yep, Thomas, Kinlaw, Quinnen Williams. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Okay, that's a decent roster. Number five, I think it's another one that most people think is a tremendous roster and a title contender. And that's Detroit. I think they're a better roster than the Jets. But their strength is O-line. Their weakness is safety. The X-Factor's corner. But I that's a really, really good team. And they're going all in. They're going all in. At number six.
The
Dallas Cowboys. Oh, you already named Detroit, yeah.
I already named Detroit. Cowboys come in with the sixth best roster. Biggest strength, edge. One of the top defenders, Mike, has led the position in pass rush win rate each of the past three seasons. The team as a whole is first in pass rush wins and fifth in sacks since 2021 in the league. Tank is 32, but hasn't lost a step, posted one of the top tackle rates and pass rush win rates among edge rushers last season. Sam Williams, solid depth.
Would you have thought of that as their strongest group? I would not have, because now, again, I know we all underrate Tank's run defense, but I remember going through their sack numbers and making fun of it.
Yeah. They get wins. They don't get to the quarterback. They don't finish them necessarily. I think they're strong. I mean, corner's really strong for them. I mean, you've got Diggs and Bland.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty solid 1-2. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they had Gilmore last year as well. Like, that's a really good 1-2-3.
Let me look at these sack numbers just to make sure that my chuckling was justified. Last year, Mike, of course, led the way with 14. And then Dorrance Armstrong had 7.5. Sam Williams had 4.5. Tank had 4. Fowler had 4. Hmm. Odigizua had 3.
Yeah. Bobby thinks quarterback is the strongest position group.
Except for Cooper Rush and Trey
Except
Lance.
For Cooper. biggest weakness, running back.
Yeah.
The write-up. This wasn't a tough choice for a pretty good Dallas roster that had very clearly decided to deprioritize this position. Out is Pollard, and in is the soon-to-be 29-year-old Zeke. As the lead back, he's a franchise legend, but he's no more than the football equivalent of an innings eater at this point. That was further evidenced last year in New England when he posted his fourth straight season with a below-average yards per carry and yards after the catch marks. Additionally, not much to get excited about behind him.
Yeah, hard to argue with that.
X factor.
And I'm looking like I'm going to lose my bet of starting running back game one and the most carries. Yeah, good thing I didn't shake any of you guys with the money on KMC Crosstalk.
No shake.
Loved it.
X factor, rookie O-lineman Tyler Guyton and Cooper Beebe. Assuming they start, they'll play a critical role. And it's a bit of a scary proposition for a team with Super Bowl aspirations. Most rookie O-linemen, even first-round picks, are a little below average in year one. Dallas needs its picks to overcome the odds. And the non-starter to know is someone that we really liked last year in camp, and he got hurt in camp, and that's DeMarvian Overshown.
Yeah, baby. Only Longhorn I like, including the two we work with.
That's right. The third-round pick didn't see the field, torn ACL, patient linebacker, elite speed, strong awareness and coverage. He was an ex-safety. Don't be surprised if he's getting snaps ahead of Damone Clark by midseason. So...
Oh, Bobby did text quarterbacks the strongest group. Were you reading his text?
I said Bobby would say. But they have the Cowboys sixth. Seventh is Cincinnati. Eight is Houston. Nine is Buffalo.
Yeah.
10 is Philadelphia.
You think a lot of people would be surprised with them being top six?
I think the way we look and talk about the offseason, we talk about the offseason as if this team is completely tore up and has no hope. I think the reality is that people are confusing the fact that we didn't get better by saying we got worse.
Right.
I don't know the team got necessarily any worse. I don't think we got any better. And
that may be worse
for some people.
We seem to lose some depth pieces.
Yes.
Just look across the way at Dan Quinn taking everybody.
Yeah, I do think this team is a house of cards.
Yeah.
Right, I do think they're far more resembling a house of cards than ever before. Their starters are really good. It's the backups you got to worry about.
Look, there's nothing poor or bad about their roster. They're just not good enough. That's the frustration.
Right.
It's kind of like our radio show with the ratings over the years. Like coming in at 5 or 6, like, yeah, it's good for the whole city, but it's like not good enough. And then you get the numbers because of YouTube and Twitch and all the Tolos and the Odyssey app right now, and you hit that, but like fourth place, it's not good enough. You're not there. And the Cowboys are like in fourth or fifth place in the radio ratings. It's not enough. That's the frustration. And not doing anything to make a move to get there is what pisses people off. Justifiably so, in my opinion.
Yeah. Look, I could see that. I mean, you have an expectation. You're chasing this title. You've got a win-now quarterback, a win-now roster. Why would you not choose to get better?
Yeah, they're living comfortably in a marriage. Like, they're like, yeah, there's like nothing exhilarating about my marriage. There's nothing. Yeah. No, I'm not talking about myself. There's nothing that awesome about it. Like, we're just going through the motions. We're fine. You want to live fine? Live fine. Cowboy fans don't want to live fine. It's like, yo, man, I want the next tier.
Right.
I want to move on up.
Yep. Now, again, though, they'll be a fine team. They'll be okay. I still think they're going to win 12 games. They don't have to be better than last year. They got to just be better than all the teams this year, right? That old cliche. But, I mean, we've seen this team not be able to be better than anybody over the last 25, 30 years. So why would I think any difference is going to happen this year?
Right.
So is the offseason, are they necessarily worse? No, but by not getting better, I think they got worse. Like in the perception and in the eyes of many. So that is the top 10 of the roster rankings in the NFL. They have Miami at 11. I think Miami's a little low. I think Miami's roster is really, really good. I don't know many teams that have a better wide receiver running back combo. They got two great running backs and then two tremendous wide receivers. They have so much speed. So much. I mean, like they really need Josh Allen's arm with that speed.
Yeah. I was looking at the Cowboys team sack numbers just to see if those added up to higher than I thought. No, they were 13th in the league in sacks. So ESPN giving edge rush to them as the number one strength.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I would definitely pick over it. You said corner.
I like the corners. I mean, they got to figure out what they're going to do, you know, beyond. Of course, obviously with Diggs' injury, how he comes back, you know, that's still the unknown. We've seen players come back from an ACL and have no problems at all. And then Michael Gallup exists. So,
yeah, because it's hard to argue where they improved. You're going to improve at corner with Diggs coming back, but you would probably think you're worse at left tackle. You could be worse at center.
Mm-hmm.
And you're worse probably at running back. So when you count up the negatives compared to the positives, yeah, an angry offseason in DFW.
Yes, it is. Speaking of off-season, and some off-season grades.
Yeah.
This is from Seth Walter, who did this.
You like him?
I do like him. I think he's really tremendous. He does a lot of the analytics stuff, but I think he's pretty sharp. I think he's an idiot. no, I'm just kidding. The top grade in the offseason in the NFL, he gives to the Philadelphia Eagles. That's not surprising.
Howie.
Our analytics guy, give that to an analytics guy as the GM. The move he disliked the most was Saquon. The move that he liked was Hassan Reddick for edge rusher Bryce Huff. And they got a third round pick. So he loved that one. He gives the Cowboys a D+ for the offseason.
Woo!
The biggest move was not signing its stars. The move he liked was spending two of their first three picks on the offensive line. And the move he disliked was not signing Dak to an extension. Their most notable offseason move was not signing any of those three. The last is the most problematic, which was Dak. Prescott cannot be franchise tagged, which means that they do not sign into a new deal. He enters as a true free agent. If they're having second thoughts based on how his season ended, it shouldn't. He finished second in QBR, an MVP candidate to the end. They're fortunate to have a franchise quarterback and should not risk losing him.
Mm.
Waiting to sign Lamb has cost them money. While impossible to know the nature of the negotiations, the fact they waited until 2024 and after Jefferson signed $35 million a year raised his price too. They let Tyron walk to the Jets for cheap, just $6.5 million guaranteed. Now they have other players that can play tackle, Terrence Steele, Adoga, Tyler Smith, and Tyler Guyton. Tyron is coming off a strong season and could have been an asset for a team with Super Bowl aspirations. And with such a strong core, they are a Super Bowl contender sitting pat in free agency. Their biggest moves were Jordan Lewis and Eric Kendricks and Zeke. Each getting less than $3 million fully guaranteed doesn't feel ideal. The team's going to have to eventually pay those stars. That will take resources. Yikes.
D plus.
I mean, they are sandwiched between the Raiders and the Vikings. And I don't want to be near the Raiders and the Vikings in any list. Literally any list.
RJ Choppy taking over the Cowboy knowledge with Bobby Bell out for about a week. I do not think it's a coincidence that Bobby is listening right now, probably out of fear that Peyton Russell is taking this over.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
That's right, Bobby Bell out. Someone had to take over the number one segment, maybe, on the show, The Neighborhood Watch. Mm. Had to do it. Had to do it. I'll be doing Ask Reddit Tuesday as well. There's a tease, Sean, for, you know, 6 days in advance.
Wow. Now, did Bobby help you with any of this?
Did not. Ooh. I had to hold myself back from texting, asking, okay, you know, what's the best article? How do you get this? The Facebook community group message, all that stuff. Did not ask for his help. You know, I've done it a couple times in the past, so I just use that as like a base to learn off of. But you know, I think it's gone pretty well. And I guess Bobby will be listening. He'll be grabbing audio clips and mistakes of mine and tell me I'm checking out. we'll have a whole segment.
Well, at least we know you won't say interesting 48 times.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
But it'd be funny if you did.
Oh, well, this first story is very interesting, but not funny. We go to my hometown of Mansfield. They have opened up an HEB. I've never been in one before.
Me neither.
Really?
Sarah goes all the time. She goes all the time. The new one opened in Heritage Trace in Fort Worth. And, you know, after about a month, she's let the crowds go, disperse. But now, you know, on her way home from work, that's where we get almost all of our chicken there now.
Best tortillas I've ever had.
Oh.
Now, I have to do the long-distance delivery fee if I want to order from there.
Yeah.
And when I smoke turkeys, trying to copy like Hurtado or Matt Pittman, I'll get the long-distance delivery from them. But Atolo sent me the video that I think you're about to reference.
Yeah, and Ryan has up on the fan cam just like that. It's the shoppers and the community is waiting outside overnight to be the first people in there. And it's like, if you look, and once the video, you see right here, there's... I think it's Lake Ridge. There's cheerleaders. There's the drum line. I mean, it's a whole event out there that happened overnight last night before the grand opening this morning.
For what? Tolos, tell me. If you're in this line and when they open the doors, what are the first three areas that people are running to?
Yeah.
Where are you going? This is not a video game sale.
No, they have to be just having like free food that they're giving. Right? There's got to
be like a Black Friday shopping, you think, where there's deals.
It has to be. Because there's no other reason to be standing out there overnight. It's 100 degrees outside, guys.
Mansfield is just built different, guys.
The same thing happened.
That's why you moved to Rockwell.
At Heritage Trace. It's the same thing. They were lined up at 6 a.m. Now, if they're giving away, hey, I'll buy.
Briskets.
Yeah, they're giving away briskets or whatever they're giving away.
Yeah.
You know, buy one, get one free USA Prime steaks.
Yes.
Fine.
Yeah.
If they're not, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
It'll be there. That day.
Let us know. 8-7. It might not be there, but you can go to Kroger. Go get our Tolo hookup over there.
Yeah.
877-881-1053. Where are you running to inside these HEBs?
They're saying they're trying to get their hands on the brisket queso. You guys have clearly never had brownie bites.
Yeah. Are they handed out like free samples? We got Costco free samples at HEBs.
Yeah. Gift cards or something, that would be worth it.
And look, I'm not intentionally disrespecting. They're just not close to me. They have not opened up one close to me in the East Dallas area.
I'm like a proud dad. You know, I see my old hometown. You know, I haven't lived there for almost 5 years now. And so seeing them grow in the community, man, it's awesome. It's awesome.
People are saying, somebody says the first 300 people got free groceries. There's no way.
300?
There's no way.
That would make sense for the line to be like this.
I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah. I'll stick with my Mexican markets right now, man.
Dude, those are great.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll stick with the dye in my meat.
The only problem is that if you get like...
my pink fajitas.
The only problem with them is not really a problem, but like if you get like the tortillas, they mold in like 2 days because they don't use like preservatives. It's all fresh.
Have you had the HEB tortillas? Sarah bring home the flour tortillas.
They're called Extreme. The Extreme ones.
I have no idea. The brand. The Extreme. No, it's just I don't know. It's a clear plastic bag. They're homemade. You can tell.
They're fluffy. We go from Mansfield to South Dallas, where now we all know the storms that hit us, you know, some harshly than others a few weeks ago, maybe close to a month ago.
Yeah, my oak tree's gone. Oak tree is gone. My builder, who wanted to charge me $800 to replace it, he was right. I still have it up. I got to come up with a replacement tree.
It died.
Yeah, it's dead.
That's a shame. They're expensive.
Yeah.
And it has to be an oak tree.
I don't know. I haven't asked the HOA. That's another thing I have to do.
No, I love the...
Boy Ivan said, forget about the oak tree. It produces acorns. In the ass.
It won't produce acorns for 30 years. You'll be fine. I love the Italian cypress trees. Those super thin pine trees. I love them. I don't know if that would work there, though.
Have you thought about palm trees? My parents have the palm trees by the pool. I don't know if you're a big fan of the palm trees.
Well, I have the one palm tree. Like, yeah. I have two oak trees in my front yard and then the one palm tree.
In the back?
It's in the front.
It's in the front?
Yeah, the tree's in the front. Otherwise, I wouldn't care. I have no trees in the back, but I don't think the HOA would be cool with one palm tree in the whole neighborhood sticking up. I don't know.
This is a feel-good story here. This woman, she's 90 years old, lives alone at her house in South Dallas. She was struck by the storms. Her roof was damaged completely, and she didn't have the right insurance to get the roof repaired, so the community came together and helped her rebuild it by hand.
Awesome.
So it's a very, very good moment out there in South Dallas. You love to see when the community gets together like that, because it's so easy now to get a group together. You send out a Facebook message, something like that. You just say, hey guys, we need 10-12 people, you know, to come over and help, you know, rebuild this house or
easy. This is so simple.
Yep.
Everyone come over and just rebuild a roof.
It seems like every, you know, city now, every town has a Facebook community group message. You know, Rockwall has Rockwallian, Flower Mound, Irving all has this stuff. You just send out a mass message out there and everyone comes together. So awesome moment here. We go from Dallas to Fort Worth, guys. This is the Neighborhood Watch every Thursday at this time during the expressway.
Feel-good story followed by a smooth reset. I like it.
Baby, we go to RJ's side of town, Fort Worth. There is more parking, RJ, in the stockyards.
Oh, thank God.
No more complaining, although it won't be done till about the year 2031.
Oh, perfect. So I'll be 50.
you'll almost be retired.
Just like the Spurs draft pick.
Yep.
But this is a 9-figure stockyard development happening right now. Where they're basically adding underground garages now in Fort Worth in the stockyards. Stockyard, you love the stockyards, right?
Love the stockyards.
It's a great place.
It doesn't help the parking situation downtown in Sundance Square. Thanks, Sasha. Doesn't help that at all. Okay, you still can't park anywhere. You got companies moving out.
Be careful who you call out. I got a COO hospital voicemail the other day.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? It was radio related. From a 5:30 hospital segment that I was talking about.
Was this hospital the...
I was giving props to Scottish Rite. I may have complained about how long I was there for the day, which I think may have piqued their ears.
Their ears,
relayed to them. But fantastic facilities and communication to Scottish Rite. Now we can get the same thing at Children's Medical. We'll see. Baylor, you're on the S list.
You're on the list. Yeah, the parking in the stockyards is it's not great. Ideally, you want to find street parking, or you're going to park way behind, like on, is it Exchange? Whatever that main drag is by the Mule Alley, you got to park way back there.
I usually park at Joti Garcia's and just walk by the hotel.
Yeah. When's the last time you've driven Deep Ellum? Either of you?
Ooh. We had a wedding a rehearsal dinner something like that last year. So it was about a year ago, almost this time.
It was Sandler's event, and it was during the daytime, though. I've not been at night.
Okay, well, I'm kind of asking for the day. For those of you who have parked downtown Fort Worth or Deep Ellum at lunchtime, which one is worse? I don't know Fort Worth afternoon parking. I know Deep Ellum, and it's a nightmare. So I'm wondering if it's as bad and congested as deep Elm is to find a parking spot as what you're talking about.
Lunchtime should be okay in Fort Worth.
Okay. Well, at night, fine. Take both nights.
The problem with Fort Worth is that they've gotten rid of like all these garage. A lot of the times, like if you parked in these garages and you went to a few handful of restaurants, it was free. Now it's like they're making you pay for parking everywhere, or they're making the restaurants pay for parking. That's why all these restaurants are leaving Sundance Square. Like it's just too expensive for them, and no one parks there.
That in place is blowing up, right?
Yeah, right. But like people are
not the right type of blowing up.
No, but so a restaurant is now losing business because no one's going down there because parking is $20.
Now, RJ, how far? Because I'm thinking about the Uber situation here. Is it worth it just to, instead of trying to fight the parking situation or the traffic there, is it better just to pay the charge to Uber there? I mean, are you within the 25, 30-minute range where, you know, it's not too far to Uber? Because I find when I lived in Mansfield, we always Ubered to downtown Fort Worth or the Stockyards. Like, that's just what we would do. It was like it was worth for me and my friends to put some money in the pot and just Uber there for the day and then come back at night.
I'm 20-ish, 25 miles from downtown.
Ooh. 20 miles?
Yeah, from downtown.
How many minutes is that going to be?
It depends on the time of day. If it's at 5 o'clock, it's an hour. I don't know if it's worth the trouble.
The answer is it depends on how messed up you're going to get.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, if you have no chance of parking, that's a question for everyone. Ooh. How many circles do you take before you bite the valet or garage bullet? That is a manhood stubbornness question. How many circles are you taking before you bite the bullet and pay for it?
If I'm by myself, I take a half a loop. I'll take a half a loop. To me, it's time value of money. That's what it is. It's all about the money efficiency. If I'm with Sarah, we are driving around. We are missing reservations. We are driving around for 6 hours. That girl, bless her heart, she refuses to pay for parking. She's like, with a little effort, you get it for free.
Okay, but she wants to pay a delivery fee for like groceries or something versus just going down the street to Walgreens or CVS. That's why I was shocked you said she goes to the HEB versus getting everything delivered.
We do not ever do delivery groceries. We've not done that. We talked about it.
We've talked about it.
We've talked about it because she's brought it up. She's like, why don't we ever do this? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, because you go into the grocery store. I like to go up and down every aisle. I don't know what's out there. I don't know what I need.
So I'm the guy back to Sean's question about when do you, go from, finding a parking spot to just valeting. I'm the guy that if people are walking out from the establishment, restaurant, wherever, I will not creepily, but I will follow them.
Yeah.
And like weigh us. And yeah. I'll be the guy with the blinker on that says, hey, this is my spot. I'm waiting for them to back out and go.
That blinker's on an hour early.
Yeah.
It's so much more stressful though when she's in the car with you versus just like going around. Well, RJ says he gives up on it early, but otherwise it's a principle thing. Isn't that the money thing? It's the principle.
Yeah, for me, like, I don't mind. Like, if I know it's going to be busy, I'll just park as far away as I possibly can just to get a spot.
Ugh.
I don't mind walking. Far away. And sometimes super far away is free or cheaper. Those garages where you got to pay $20, I ain't going to one of those.
And there will be more hotels as well near the Stockyards in Fort Worth. So Fort Worth, starting to blow up there. They want to really put the pressure on in the Stockyards to do some work. Okay. If you want a job that doesn't require a resume of any sorts, you just go to the DFW airport, because in the year 2023, DFW airport reported that they collected more than...
I do not think it's a coincidence that Bobby is listening right now, probably out of fear that Peyton Russell is taking this over.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
That's right, Bobby Bell out. Someone had to take over the number one segment, maybe, on this show, the Neighborhood Watch. Mm. Had to do it. I'll be doing Ask Reddit Tuesday as well. There's a tease, Sean, for, 6 days in the band.
Wow. Now, did Bobby help you with any of this?
Did not. I had to hold myself back from texting, asking, okay, what's the best article? How do you get this? The Facebook community group message, all that stuff. did not ask for his help. You know, I've done it a couple times in the past, so I just use that as like a base to learn off of. But you know, I think it's gone pretty well. And I guess Bobby will be listening. He'll be grabbing audio clips and mistakes of mine and tell me I'm checking out. we'll have a whole segment.
Well, at least we know you won't say interesting 48 times.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
But it'd be funny if you did.
Oh, well, this first story is very interesting, but not funny. We go to my hometown of Mansfield. They have opened up an HEB. I've never been in one before.
Me neither.
Really?
Sarah goes all the time. She goes all the time. The new one opened in Heritage Trace in Fort Worth. And, you know, after about a month, she's let the crowds go, disperse. But now, you know, on her way home from work, that's where we get almost all of our chicken there now.
Best tortillas I've ever had.
Oh.
Now, I have to do the long-distance delivery fee if I want to order from there.
Yeah.
When I smoke turkeys, trying to copy like Hurtado or Matt Pittman, I'll get the long-distance delivery from them. But Atolo sent me the video that I think you're about to reference.
Yeah, and Ryan has up on the fan cam just like that. It's the shoppers and the community is waiting outside overnight to be the first people in there. And it's like, if you look, and once the video, you see right here, there's... I think it's Lake Ridge. There's cheerleaders. There's the drum line. I mean, it's a whole event out there that happened overnight last night before the grand opening this morning.
For what? Tolos, tell me. If you're in this line, and when they open the doors, what are the first three areas that people are running to?
Yeah.
Where are you going? Okay. This is not a video game sale.
No, they have to be just having like free food that they're giving. Right?
There's got to be like a Black Friday shopping, you think, where there's deals.
Has to be. Because there's no other reason to be standing out there overnight. It's 100 degrees outside, guys.
Oh. Mansfield is just built different, guys.
The same thing happened.
That's why you moved to Rockwell.
At Heritage Trace. It's the same thing. They were lined up at 6 a.m. Now, if they're giving away, hey, I'll buy.
Briskets.
Yeah, they're giving away briskets or whatever they're giving away.
Yeah.
You know, buy one, get one free USA Prime steaks.
Yes.
Fine.
Yeah.
If they're not, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
It'll be there. That day.
Let us know. 8-7. It might not be there, but you can go to Kroger. Go get our Tolo hookup over there.
Yeah.
877-881-1053. Where are you running to inside these HEBs?
They're saying they're trying to get their hands on the brisket queso. You guys have clearly never had brownie bites.
Yeah. Are they handed out like free samples? We got Costco free samples at HEBs.
Gift cards or something, that would be worth it.
And look, I'm not intentionally disrespecting. They're just not close to me. They have not opened up one close to me in the East Dallas area.
I'm like a proud dad. You know, I see my old hometown. You know, I haven't lived there for almost 5 years now. And so seeing them grow in the community, man, it's awesome. It's awesome.
People are saying, somebody says the first 300 people got free groceries. There's no way.
300?
There's no way.
That would make sense for the line to be like this.
I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah. I'll stick with my Mexican markets right now, man.
Dude, those are great.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll stick with the dye in my meat.
The only problem is that if you get like...
my pink fajitas.
The only problem with them is not really a problem, but like if you get like the tortillas, they mold in like 2 days because they don't use like preservatives. It's all fresh.
Have you had the HEB tortillas? Have Sarah bring home the flour tortillas.
They're called Extreme. The Extreme ones.
I have no idea.
The brand.
The Extreme. No, it's just I don't know. It's a clear plastic bag. They're homemade. You can tell.
They're fluffy. We go from Mansfield to South Dallas, where now we all know the storms that hit us. You know, some harshly than others. A few weeks ago, maybe close to a month ago.
Yeah, my oak tree's gone. Oak tree is gone. My builder who wanted to charge me $800 to replace it, he was right. I still have it up. I got to come up with a replacement tree.
It died.
Yeah, it's dead.
That's a shame. They're expensive.
Yeah.
And it has to be an oak tree.
I don't know. I haven't asked the HOA. That's another thing I have to do.
No, I love the...
Boy Ivan said, forget about the oak tree. It produces acorns. Pain in the ass.
It won't produce acorns for 30 years. You'll be fine. Okay. I love the Italian cypress trees. Those super thin pine trees. I love them. I don't know if that would work there, though.
Have you thought about palm trees? My parents have the palm trees by the pool. I don't know if you're a big fan of the palm trees.
Well, I have the one palm tree. Like, I have two oak trees in my front yard and then the one palm tree.
In the back?
It's in the front.
It's in the front?
Yeah, the tree's in the front. Otherwise, I wouldn't care. I have no trees in the back, but I don't think the HOA would be cool with one palm tree in the whole neighborhood sticking up. I don't know.
This is a feel-good story here. This woman, she's 90 years old, lives alone at her house in South Dallas. She was struck by the storms. Her roof was damaged completely. And, you know, she didn't have the right insurance to get the roof repaired. So the community came together and helped her rebuild it by hand.
Awesome.
So very, very good moment out there in South Dallas. You love to see when the community gets together like that, because it's so easy now to get a group together. You send out a Facebook message, something like that. You just say, hey guys, we need, you know, 10, 12 people, you know, to come over and help, you know, rebuild this house. Or
oh yeah.
Or
easy. This is so simple. Yep. Everyone come over and just rebuild a roof.
It seems like every, you know, city now, every town has a Facebook community group message. You know, Rockwall has Rockwallian, Flower Mound, Irving all has this stuff. You just send out a mass message out there and everyone comes together. So awesome moment here. We go from Dallas to Fort Worth, guys. This is the Neighborhood Watch every Thursday at this time during the expressway.
Feel-good story followed by a smooth reset. I like it.
Baby, we go to RJ's side of town, Fort Worth. There is more parking, RJ, in the Stockyards.
Oh, thank God.
No more complaining, although it won't be done till about the year 2031.
Oh, perfect. So I'll be 50.
you'll almost be retired.
Just like the Spurs draft pick.
Yep.
But this is a nine-figure Stockyard development happening right now. Where they're basically adding underground garages now in Fort Worth in the Stockyards. Stockyard, you love the Stockyards, right?
Love the Stockyards.
It's a great place.
It doesn't help the parking situation downtown in Sundance Square. Thanks, Sasha. Doesn't help that at all. Okay, you still can't park anywhere. You got companies moving out.
Be careful who you call out. I got a COO hospital voicemail the other day.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? It was radio related. From a 5:30 hospital segment that I was talking about.
Was this hospital the
I was giving props to Scottish Rite. I may have complained about how long I was there for the day, which I think may have piqued their ears.
Their ears
got relayed to them. But fantastic facilities and communication to Scottish Rite. Now if we can get the same thing at Children's Medical. We'll see. Baylor, you're on the S list.
You're on the list. Yeah, like, you know, the parking in the Stockyards is it's not great. Ideally, you want to find street parking, or you're going to park way behind, like on, is it Exchange? Whatever that main drag is by the Mule Alley, you got to park way back there.
I usually park at Joe T. Garcia's and just walk by the hotel.
Yeah. When's the last time you've driven Deep Ellum? Either of you?
Ooh. We had a wedding a rehearsal dinner something like that last year. So it was about a year ago, almost this time.
The last time it was Sandler's event, and it was during the daytime though. I've not been at night.
Okay, well, I'm kind of asking for the day. For those of you who have parked downtown Fort Worth or Deep Ellum at lunchtime, which one is worse? I don't know Fort Worth afternoon parking. I know Deep Ellum, and it's a nightmare. So I'm wondering if it's as bad and congested as Deep Ellum is to find a parking spot as what you're talking about.
Lunchtime should be okay in Fort Worth.
Okay. Take both nights.
The problem with Fort Worth is that they've gotten rid of like all these garage. A lot of the times, like if you parked at these garages and you went to a few handful of restaurants, it was free. Now it's like they're making you pay for parking everywhere, or they're making the restaurants pay for parking. That's why all these restaurants are leaving Sundance Square. Like it's just too expensive for them, and no one parks there.
That in place is blowing up, right?
But like people
not the right type of blowing up.
No, but so a restaurant is now losing business because no one's going down there because parking is $20.
Now, RJ, how far? Because I'm thinking about the Uber situation here. Is it worth it just to, instead of trying to fight the, you know, the parking situation or the traffic there, is it better just to pay the charge to Uber there? I mean, are you within the 25, 30-minute range where, you know, it's not too far to Uber? Because I find when I lived in Mansfield, we always Ubered to downtown Fort Worth or the Stockyards. Like, that's just what we would do. It was worth for me and my friends to put some money in the pot and just Uber there for the day and then come back at night.
I'm 20-ish, 25 miles from downtown.
Ooh. 20 miles?
Yeah, from downtown.
How many minutes is that going to be?
It depends on the time of day. If it's at 5 o'clock, it's an hour. I don't know if it's worth the trouble to Uber.
The answer is it depends on how messed up you're going to get.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, if you have no chance of parking, that's a question for everyone. Ooh. How many circles do you take before you bite the valet or garage bullet. That is a manhood stubbornness question. How many circles are you taking before you bite the bullet and pay for it?
If I'm by myself, I take endless. I take a half a loop. If I'm by myself, I'll take a half a loop. To me, it's time value of money. That's what it is. It's all about the money efficiency. If I'm with Sarah, we are driving around. We are missing reservations. We are driving around for 6 hours. That girl, bless her heart, she will not. She refuses to pay for parking. She's like, with a little effort, you get it for free.
Okay, but she wants to pay a delivery fee for like groceries or something versus just going down the street to Walgreens or CVS. That's why I was shocked you said she goes to the HEB versus getting everything delivered.
We do not ever do delivery groceries. We've not done that. We talked about it.
We've talked about it.
We've talked about it because she's brought it up. She's like, why don't we ever do this? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, because you go into the grocery store. I like to go up and down every aisle. I don't know what's out there. I don't know what I need.
So I'm the guy back to Sean's question about when do you, go from, finding a parking spot to just valeting. I'm the guy that if people are walking out from the establishment, restaurant, wherever, I will not creepily, but I will follow them.
Yeah.
And like weigh us. And yeah. I'll be the guy with the blinker on this and say, this is my spot. I'm waiting for them to back out and go.
That blinker's on an hour early.
It's so much more stressful though when she's in the car with you versus just like going around. Well, RJ says he gives up on it early, but otherwise it's a principle thing. It's not the money thing. It's the principle.
Yeah. For me, like I don't mind. Like if I know it's going to be busy, I'll just park as far away as I possibly can. Just to get a spot.
Ugh.
I don't mind walking. I'll park super far away. And sometimes super far away is free or cheaper. Those garages where you got to pay $20, I ain't going to one of those.
And there will be more hotels as well near the Stockyards in Fort Worth. So Fort Worth, starting to blow up there. They want to really put the pressure on the Stockyards to do some work. Okay. If you want a job that doesn't require a resume of any sorts, you just go to the DFW airport. Because in the year 2023, DFW airport reported that they collected more than $57,000 in loose change at just TSA checkpoints.
No.
Not even just left on the flights, just people leaving their change, loose change all over the place. If it goes through the security checkpoint, it's just left there in the box, the cart there. So $57,000 just by finding loose change. Were you ever that person that as a kid, because that's what I would do. I would, when my parents took me to the grocery store, I would be going around the self checkout and finding the loose change. I found $10 one time just sitting there.
Wow.
In the little pocket below.
You talk about showing age. When I was a kid, I'd go to the self checkout. We didn't have that.
Yeah, we didn't have that.
We had no self checkout.
This was maybe the first year self checkout.
So you could go and clean up and find loose change at the self checkout. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You go like Kroger or Walmart. There's people, because change will pop out and they don't care about loose change. But you go around, there's like 6 or 7. Open places, you get $5 or $6 there.
Yeah, when I have coins like in that air, now I do pick it up because I'm like that. Like I'll pick up my own change, but I still am like, do I want to dig in the corners and crevices of this gray box for like 4 pennies and a dime, or do I just want to go ahead and just like leave it there? But imagine how many people are just like, I forgot, it dropped out, or I'm not going to go dig back in to get these sticky coins.
I don't know if this is the case today because we don't use change the way we used to, but there was a time where they would say that almost $1 billion in pennies in parking lots across the country at any given time. So people fall, they drop it. They get one penny back. They throw it on the ground. They don't want it.
I get great satisfaction out of going into my cup holder and getting rid of some of the change at a parking meter or like at a fast food place when I can tally up 78 cents. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I just get rid of some of it and hand it over and be like, here, now it's yours. Get this out of my car.
Get it out. Get it out. I want no part of it. Oh, I got to wash the car today. Let's go to those $1.25 quarter only. They give you the pressure washer places to wash the car. That's the only reason I keep changing my car.
Which, by the way, this one here at the McDonald's won't accept my credit card. I have to buy gas if I want to get a car wash.
It won't?
It's a pain in the butt. Come on, y'all.
I'm a quarters guy,
Dimes,
nickels, pennies,
Those dimes.
No, I don't need that.
Where's your 50-cent piece?
Exactly. Guys, July 4th,
When's the last time you've held a 50-cent piece, by the way? The kids even know what those are. 50-cent piece or a $2 bill? The last one you've had in your hand. I would say $2.
I've got a bunch of $2 bills at home, but I haven't taken them out of the piggy bank that they're in. It's got to be years. Years.
$2 bill for me. My grandma does this thing ever since I was a kid. She will give us, you know, for Christmas, as you know, with our gifts as well, she'll throw in $2 bills. She just collects them, thinks they're unique. She'll throw them in there. So I have like, you know, 15 or 20 at home. Yeah, that I've just kept and never spent, you know, never had a need for. But guys, July 4th is next week. This time next week, it will be July 4th. There's so much going around in the community. You know, there's the right here around town, Addison Kaboom Town is going on. Arlington, Light Up Arlington, where they're actually having fireworks June 29th, this Saturday, and July 4th. So a lot going around the community. Are you guys thinking about going out and about July 4th, or you stay inside there?
Oh, I can't. Well, first, I'm going to stay inside. If it was just Ollie at 4 years of age, I would consider taking him somewhere, but not with Ava at 2 months. But the first year where I won't have to worry, I don't think, about staying up until 3 a.m. with the gunshots mixed with the fireworks. I can't wait. We would consider sometimes going to getting a hotel. We never did it.
Yeah.
But like New Year's Eve, July 4th in my old neighborhood, like, let's just go get a hotel so that we don't have to deal with guns being fired.
Right. Yeah, we haven't talked about it.
Like you do going to get groceries?
We haven't done it. Yeah, we'll probably do something. I know we could, like, July, whatever day it is. Sometimes,
4th?
I think Roanoke does it on the 3rd.
Oh.
We could generally see it from, like, the house. So we could just go on the driveway. We could generally see it, so.
Yeah, I'm looking to see with Sunnyvale. What type of show they put on? Let's see. Look up a community page. We got some Sunnyvale fireworks.
I'm looking right here. Roanoke, July 3rd. Roanoke's 3rd of July. Fireworks, live music, and family fun. So
yeah,
there you go.
It's at the big park, like down the, you know, about a mile away, but you can generally see it from our house, and we may do that. I don't know. We haven't talked about it. We'll do something, I'm sure.
Sean, you have something going on in Sunnyvale June 28th.
Awesome.
There you go. I think that's a Friday.
Wait, very timely.
They have fireworks June
tomorrow.
28th?
That's what it says. Sunnyfest celebration. Fireworks, drone show, food, family fun, and live music.
Very timely. Very timely. Well done. Peyton Russell crushing it in the Neighborhood Watch in place of Bobby Roberto Bell. Let's talk to the reporter that the entire world is discussing. The Texas A&M reporter himself, Richard Zane, next on Sean and RJ.